Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Let me text in to say, what happened there? Did your man get cheesed off? The old Skype didn't work. Or broke or whatever. Keith says, I grew up with goats. We used to milk them. But eating them, nah. Not for me. It's the billy goats, really, is that his argument was that should be consumed. Now, he's right when they're a bit pricier. A leg at the moment, this is a roundabout price, and this is in British pounds. A leg of goat can cost you £41.25. Compare that to a leg of lamb. So it is kind of expensive. Now, what I didn't get to ask him was that isn't goat tough as old boots when you try to eat it? And he was going to say, oh no, there's all these fabulous recipes, blah, 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 because his book is full of recipes about it. Now, whether that means, though, that you have to boil it for about 3 days to make it edible or not, I'm not sure. We'll never know, because it was his own fault for choosing to do an interview on Skype. The vegans will love this, says Francis in Galway. They're all crying listening to this at home. And another texter says, why does every animal have to be eaten? The mind boggles. Not every animal. If you have a pet dog, no one's trying to eat that, or worms. We don't want to eat any worms, as far as I know. So it's not every animal, it's just the delicious ones. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon.
How are you? You were saying to me there during the break that farming goats is a bit of a challenge.
Well, it is, because they'll go absolutely anywhere. I mean, they literally climb onto the ceiling for you. The first thing they look to do is to try and get away and get out and explore where they are. So they're difficult enough now. There's a number of people doing goat's milk in the country and goat's cheese. Crozier Blue now, that nice blue cheese. I'm nearly 99% sure that is actually goat's cheese. Mm. So, you couldn't get that at all 5-10 years ago in
That's
the country.
That's true, yeah.
That kind of product. But I suppose it's a bit like, you know, nobody ever says we get sheep anymore. You know, it's always lamb.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Theoretically, lamb is only lamb in its first year.
Mm.
And anything older than that is hogget.
Yeah.
Or yo or whatever.
It doesn't sound as yummy,
It doesn't sound as yummy, exactly. So, I mean, you know, that's up to consumers to ask those questions as well when they go into their butcher.
Mm.
You know, like, there's a load of lamb out there now at the minute, and, you know, it's been labelled a spring lamb.
What would be in the shops now labelled a spring lamb? Which spring are they referring to?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, it's a very specialist business for this time of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have spent basically Christmas up lamb and yos, and, it, you know, with the couple of months we've had. So, you know, where it is, I think you always recognise it because, you know, the bone isn't too big in it or anything like that.
Mm.
And, you know, but just, you know, to be careful about that. And there's nothing wrong with hogget. I mean, or
no,
sheep for that
all,
matter.
No.
You know, most of the lambs we would sell would be into that stage. And, you know, they're absolutely perfectly tender. The trick is always with a leg of lamb is to put it on at a nice hot temperature, maybe 220 for about 20 minutes. And then to immediately bring it down to about 180 to 150, that kind of temperature zone, and to leave it just cook and to baste it regularly, and you'll have as gorgeous a leg of lamb, a spring lamb, as anything. Mm.
Why really hot at the start?
It's to sear it, to keep all the juices in. And then the other trick, people take meat out of the oven and then they immediately go for the carving knife.
Yeah, rather than letting it sit. Yeah.
So they actually, you need to leave meat sit, you know, especially a good roast. And a roast is expensive. But a good roast, you need to leave it sit for 20 minutes, a half an hour, even an hour. I mean, you know, the fact that it's not absolutely scorching hot, that's not going to make a difference.
Mm.
All the sinews will have, loosened.
Yeah.
It'll be much more tender. The juices will all be there, and you know, you can have it for to suit the different tastes of the family.
Yeah. Now, speaking of food, there's a lot of food buyers. Are they here right now? Are they coming?
They're here this week. If you see busloads of people going around the country, they're not necessarily all tourists. But what they are is more important in one way, is that they're international food buyers. There's about 300 of them in the country right now, and they're on 28 different itineraries. They're going from the top Papua Donegal to the West Cork and right across the country, and they're covering every aspect of the food sector and drink sector in the country. Everything from dairying to livestock, alcohol, groceries, seafood, they're all at it. And the people that are coming in at the moment, they're visiting about 80 different farmers and food processors, and a lot of them are coming from places like China and South Korea and Singapore, where the market for Irish food produce is, you know, beginning to open up. So tomorrow then is the big day when we're going to have something like 550 food buyers in the country. So a lot of the people who are coming from very far away, they wouldn't have seen the product here. They wouldn't know the background story. And it's like everything. It's the provenance. You know, whether you buy a silk scarf or, you know, a motor car, whatever, you want to know the background to it. So telling that backstory is what they're doing with the 300. But there's another 250 coming in this evening and tonight. And they would be more familiar with Ireland. Interestingly, the interest from the UK companies in terms of buying food and drink here is as strong as ever. There's over 60 UK buyers coming in. And tomorrow there's going to be, in the RDS, starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be the equivalent of speed dating on speed. Because there's about 180 Irish food companies who are going to be meeting all of these buyers. And at the moment, there is an extraordinary 5,000 pre-scheduled meetings set to take place.
Crikey.
5,000. Yeah. So you're going to be able to pitch your product to the particular buyer. That's all been organised and prearranged. The businesses, the food businesses, will get a chance to talk across the table to them. And then they'll either the buyers will move on to the next table and you'll get somebody new in front of you. But you're going to have those companies or those food businesses already 5,000 pre-scheduled meetings. And there's still time to have more of them, you know, depending on what people's interests are. So it's a great initiative. Like, just think, if you were a small business in Wexford or Clare or somewhere like that, where would you get access to that kind of market credibility? And here you are with all of these buyers coming in. They've seen the background story. They've been across the country. You know, they've sampled the hospitality, and now they're going in to do business. So the target for tomorrow is 40 million euros worth of brand new business. And it won't be just, you know, if you can, you know, if you get some business from new countries, it's always the start. You know, it doesn't just, that's not the end of it. You know, no matter what, you know, if you buy something you like in pennies, you'll go back and you'll buy again.
Yeah.
Or you'll buy twice as much the next time. Or if you go somewhere on holiday, you might be inclined to go back again a second time. So likewise, if you're buying nice food and drink products and you're happy with them and you like the story and you think it's a fit with you, they're hoping 40 million in brand new business, and the knock on impact on that for the next year and the next year, we'd hope, would be, you know, multiples of it.
Yeah, that's so, but interesting too that there's still buyers coming in from the UK, even though nobody really knows what the future holds.
And actually, they're actually up on the last time they did the marketplace, the numbers in from the UK, and they're across the board as well. So a very strong interest from them. And you know, I mean, you know, you get so doomy and gloomy about what's going to happen with the border and tariffs, and you know, will everybody be ready when D-Day strikes? But certainly, looking at it from a food business point of view, they're here to buy, and they're, the 60 UKs are among the 550. And when you think of Ireland as a food destination or as a food exporter, the idea that there's 550 food buyers in the country at the moment, 60 of which are the UK, you know, 20 years ago, maybe 200 of them would be in the UK.
We wouldn't have developed
those market links. And one of our big issues with joining the EU was to break the dependency on the British market. Now, we do for stuff like burgers and mincemeat and everything like that, where I think 51% of our supplies go to the UK. But expanding that market, expanding the offering, expanding the market that we have. So, you know, it's a huge number of people. Like, the 500 people is a big crowd. And or 550.
Yeah.
And that's what they're at, speed dating tomorrow to leave 400
it's
or
like
40
going
million
to confession
behind us. Yeah, but it is.
I suppose it'd be like, you know, some fella from Singapore were in the market for X.
And the other thing about it is Borbia has done a lot of work with those 180 companies to make sure they're pitching exactly, you know, they're not going around in circles,
wasting people's time,
that they built up what they know what they can do and who their likely clients are, and they're going to concentrate on them. So that's all part of it.
Okay, very interesting. Now, bit of doom and gloom, unfortunately, given the weather, and I suppose planting cereals and the like is the next thing on the agenda.
Yeah.
Has the weather affected that?
Well, it did. We plant about 260,000 hectares of cereals in the country. We do about half it before Christmas and half it after Christmas. So there's the winter stuff, it's called winter, it's planted kind of from the autumn onwards, and then there's the spring stuff. So the winter sowing actually got delayed as well. It didn't get into the ground as it usually would. But what's happened since then, it's behaved remarkably well and is in good order at this time of the year. So at the moment, there's very little of the big sprig planting done. And it can't be done until the ground conditions are right. And the ground conditions are just too wet. So even if it was to take another week or 10 days to dry the ground out. Now, you know, it's been raining all day yesterday, most of the day before. You know, it hasn't been hectic. And the later it gets, kind of, you shouldn't panic with this. The later it gets, the more important it is that the seed bed and everything is perfect, because it will need to really, when the seed goes into the ground, it'll have to take off and it'll really have to motor.
Yeah.
So you can't even chance going out too early with it. So ploughing has yet to be done, cultivating has yet to be done, fertiliser and seed sowing all still has to be done. And but the Andy Doyle, who's our absolute tillage god, I mean, tillage farmers all over the country bow to his expertise. He says, don't worry yet. We are behind time. It doesn't necessarily mean that the crop will be behind or that we'll have lower yields. All it means is that make sure that when you're going to go planting, that it's done in the best ground conditions possible, and to give the seeds the plant the strength to go on and the best base to go on with.
Yeah.
And an awful lot now will depend on what weather the weather throws at us in May, June, July and August.
Yeah.
So don't discount it. It's still there.
All right. Sticking with the weather, what's the situation vis-a-vis tillage?
Well, you've just been on the fodder situation. Yeah. Well, look, at we're bringing in 10 to 20 loads a day, which is, and that's the co-ops and, you know, the different organisations. People are being asked to just register with Chagask, or register with a co-op, or register with their local mart, and that we can know to give them that they need fodder, that they need to get it organised. And it's amazing the amount of people who would be, you know, they feel a bit of a failure because they don't have enough fodder and they don't want to acknowledge it. So look, there's no shame in it. Get yourself on the register, because that's the only way we can get it out to you. I was in a co-op on Saturday morning actually, and the guy had like three pages of people looking for something, and only maybe, you know, 5 or 10 bales would make an awful difference. They're paying the retail price of the product. What's been subsidised is the transport to get it to the the local.
Now, who's subsidising? Is it still the co-ops that are subsidising?
No, the government is
subsidising.
But the co-ops are actually subsidising the price of meals, concentrates. Yeah. A number of them have come in with, you know, up to, I think it's 50 to 80, or maybe it's 30 to 50 euro a tonne. Could be a bit more than that in some cases. But there's that subsidisation there.
All right. Okay, the Women in Agriculture Awards.
Yeah, these are awards that we run. There's a load of women out there who are involved in their farms, their family businesses. They don't get an awful lot of recognition. And with the support of FBD Insurance, we're able to do it. And we're talking about two things. So there's innovation on farm. So it's an agribusiness that's set up on the farm that isn't necessarily anything to do with the produce.
Yeah.
So we a great business down in Wexford was one of the winners. The Stables Fitness and Wellbeing. Anna Sim was a quantity surveyor in Dublin doing the daily commute. A couple of kids came along, the recession and the housing thing. She looked at what she had on the farm. So now we're bringing city services to a rural community, in that she's got Pilates, yoga, she's got running tracks around the farm. Just, you know, what people take for granted.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
It's a really good idea. And so that's one of the businesses. Linda Siren, mum of five above in Westmead, she really looked at the whole idea of, you know, one of these little farms for children to come around and look at. But she's gone and done so much more with it, including writing children's books and illustrating them based on the animals on the farm. So she's another one of our winners there. We had Caroline Daly from Valencia Island and her ice cream. Again, a woman who'd taken a career break from teaching to get out and utilise the farm produce. And then the overall winner who'd be representing us in Europe is Maria Flynn. And those of you who are maybe frequent fancy restaurants will know Maria's heritage spuds. They're the purple potatoes. And she developed this whole business as a result of the decline in the potato market and the decline in prices. And it's doing well for her, and she's in with an awful lot of the top restaurants in the country, and she's now doing a lot more of these heritage vegetables, and it's changed the direction of the family business for her. So well done to them all, and to everybody who entered, and to FBD Insurance for supporting us on it.
Right, well done to them all. And Mairead, thanks a million for coming into us today. Mairead Lavery there from the Farmers Journal. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.